Good afternoon. It's the Hour of Truth again. I'm Paul Muller. I have Scott Bishop on my right, Philip Walthall on my right, and James Usler is a no-show out in left field.
He's probably out in left field. He's just not with us.
That's right. So, I have I really didn't get any feedback in the chat. I thought we had a pretty good service, except for nobody's pretty and nobody's good. It was a pretty good service. And, of course, nobody got to listen to Steve, except for I got a little bit of him, but Steve started, and that's when everybody decides they need to talk to me. Charlie was there for a half hour. Nobody was talking to me.
But
Charlie was pretty good, though. Charlie was nailing some stuff.
It's a good thing it's recorded. I mean, that's the cool thing.
Yeah.
And go back and listen. You can find the recordings on www.thefishermanministry.org for anybody that's listening now or in the future. Go on and check it out.
Amen.
One thing that I wanted to mention and just got all excited and forgot to mention was that, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, talks about not many wise, not many strong, not many noble are called. That God chose the weak and the
base
things to confound the wise and the and
you know
the difference is worse than it appears, because especially the ones that we have made comfortable in their ignorance and their poverty and whatnot, but they're base and they don't know it. And they're in the same condition there as the noble and the wise who are up here. They're based and they don't know it.
Right, and really what you're getting at with that is, I mean, the people have been made comfortable in their sin.
Right.
And that's just how it is.
From one direction or the other.
What the church is doing is making people comfortable in their sin, but not ever requiring repentance and not ever requiring them to press on word.
And that's, I mean, that flip side of that coin, because y'all talking about, I mean, it's still one direction off to the right or one direction far off to the left. You got the people that are prideful. They think they're self-righteous, pharisaical, just, I am, you know, good. And then you got the ones that I'm so bad that the church, I'll catch on fire in the church because I'm so bad. Well, you know, your sin's not that great. And then the other, you're not good. But it's still error on both sides, yeah, from one direction to the other.
Well, I still haven't gotten to the real dichotomy that I didn't address in the service. The real problem is that both the base, the foolish, you know, the noble and the wise are cursed. Death sentence is being executed in their body as we speak, all of us. It's gonna die. And that's the proof that it's cursed.
You know, well, Scotty read, you said, if we say we have no sin, we just deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And it's really a deceive yourselves. You say you have no sin? Well, man, I tell you what, it's going to It's nice to meet a guy that's not going to die. Because what? The wages of sin is death. That means you have sin.
Jesus sat with publicans and sinners. Yeah. And that's all there was.
That's all there is.
Yeah, still is. All there is.
But you know, when Paul's writing that letter, and I could be wrong, you guys, please correct me. When I see it, it's almost like as he's talking to the Corinthians at that point about the division that they have. Their own mindset, their own agenda, their own what they're about. It's all different. It's all scattered. And it's not in the unity of the faith in Jesus Christ. And when he's talking about them, they think very highly of themselves. And that's where he's got, look around. Look around you. Not many noble. Not many wise. Almost kind of like he's showing that to their face.
You don't know
as
anything.
Come on, you know. And to think that we're something when we're nothing.
You're base and you don't know it.
Yeah, exactly.
You're foolish and you don't know it.
Yeah, I mean, you can sit there and say, and I remember a minister years ago, he goes, I'm pretty base because my family came from here and da 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 da. And he kept going on and on. I was like, it doesn't matter. I don't care where you came from. You came from a baser sort. That's not, I don't even know if that would be the right word, but of a base sort, family-wise, you're not of a, you know, a high, noble family or any of those things. But you can be the most high-minded and in your the most high-minded, prideful guy and be the homeless and on the homeless. And so it doesn't matter where you're from, so to speak. You can be a homeless guy, have nothing going on for yourself and be the most prideful, arrogant son of a gun there is. And not be bad.
That's really the cultural shift. Because when I was a kid, the poor and the uneducated were unhappy and sorrowful. They weren't just unhappy. They weren't pleased to be that way and proud of themselves the way they were and puffed up. We've pumped them, the church and the government together have pumped self-esteem into these people. And these people would not, if they were still the same people and still in the same socioeconomic malaise that they were in 50 years ago, they wouldn't recognize themselves today. Who is that? It's an entirely different culture. And we've fed it. In the church. We fed it in the government. We want people to think we're nice. Instead of having the tenacity to say the truth, which I believe is attributed to Benjamin Franklin, the way to deal with poverty is to make people, to get them out of poverty, is to make them uncomfortable in their poverty. Otherwise, there's no need. If you're going to just keep making them comfortable, then stay poor.
Right. And it's not, actually, you don't have to make them uncomfortable in poverty. You just don't have to feed them. You don't have
that
to.
That would be a thing, yeah.
I mean, that's not.
That would make them uncomfortable.
That would make them uncomfortable, but that's not. You didn't do anything. You're not doing.
It's not actively partaking. Yeah.
You're not actively making them uncomfortable. You're just not bending to that.
Now you're a dirtbag, you know, if you don't think the government should send out all this money. And they have created the societal decay, the cultural decay that everybody bemoans. And like I said, they're only partly to blame. The other blame goes to the church. Christian church is just. They've folded under the need to appear like you're doing good.
You let them reap what they sowed.
The reason why this is happening is because the church isn't salt.
Yeah, absolutely.
People are comfortable in their sin. The church isn't calling out the people, making them uncomfortable in their sin, in their unbelief, in these places where they find themselves. They're not calling to question these government officials. They're just allowing it to go on.
And I'm not, and you know, we're not talking about,
sweet.
And we're not talking about the... And as somebody goes forward to give them what they need to go forward in, that's not what we're talking about. And for an example, I was kind of sharing with I was sharing with Scott earlier about a situation. You know, I seen that movie Unbroken, which is an excellent movie, and part of that testimony that the guy had was, you know, he remembered praying to the Lord during the time of World War II as a POW in the Japanese camp. And he came out and he started having some, you know, post-traumatic syndrome is what they call it. And he was having nightmares. He was drinking. He was kind of really
disturbed. Well, one thing, I mean, you just kind of glazed over was while he was in the prison, he's being tortured and he's trying to be broken by these captives, or captors, I guess. And he wouldn't break. And his prayer was that the Lord would get him through the situation. Is that
correct? Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Say, Lord, if you get me through this, I will serve you. Thank you. Yeah. I will serve you for the rest of my life. And
then he finally gets out.
He gets out, like many others, as he said, and he's talking. It's an interesting thing, as this was the extras afterwards. And he says, well, just like most men, they completely forget about that prayer. But he had nightmares. He was drinking heavily, you know, destroying his marriage. So one time he went to, went to a sermon. And what he realized was, one, that the prayer was reminded to him, and that the Lord did get him through. It was the Lord that got him through that. And then that he had also to forgive those that did that torture. And as he did, all those things came undone for him. The nightmares stopped. The drinking stopped.
Yeah, he went to Billy Graham.
Billy Graham. And when he went to start serving the Lord, and he had deliverance. And that's what we're talking about here. And I wanted to kind of bring that point. I'm not talking about being just cruel and not giving something they need. That's not what I'm talking about. It's talking about getting them to recognize it is Jesus that's the source and the deliverer.
What Scripture says, their condition is, the Word says. When they can agree with that, then they can receive the gospel.
Absolutely. What good would it have done? Now, what was going on there? It wasn't the Lord that was causing his nightmares. It wasn't the Lord that was causing heavy drinking and having him go through a hard time and going through these things where he was stuck in POW camp and then he'd snap out of it. It wasn't the Lord doing that. That was the enemy. That was the enemy that was doing that, not the Lord. But if the Lord went ahead and took those things off of him when he wasn't looking for him, what would have that done for him? He would have just gone about his way and completely, if he didn't turn to the Lord, he would have just gone about his own way. But it was when he turned to the Lord delivered. The Lord delivered.
It's interesting.
And it was a testimony. And you can see the testimony now. And a great film, and it's a neat one.
Is that interesting that, what's her name? Jolie?
Angelina Jolie
thought that was an interesting story. Right. And wanted to make a movie of it. So that's...
I mean, you look in Scripture, why would you want to reward rebellion to the Lord? Why would you want to do that? That just keeps them in the place. That's not loving them. That's hating them. Mm-hmm. That's hating them. If you reward rebellion against the Lord.
Yeah, but if all you want to do is feel good and it's all about you, then you just want to...
But that's what you do.
You stroke them.
Yeah,
instead of telling them the truth.
But it's when... But there's a deliverance. Because what you're bringing, you don't want to bring yourself. What does that do? I'm not going to be able to cover anybody. It's Jesus Christ that covers and delivers. And it's His mercy.
Before we get too far down the field, I want to respond to the chat. But, y'all hold on to where you are there, unless you're finished. You're not even going to remember what you're talking about when I'm done here, are you? The government has become God to the poor, and the church is happy to let it be that way. The truth of the matter is, the church has become not only unsalty, but they're quite content to let the poor stay poor, too. And if, you know, somebody's going to administer funds to them, let the government do it, and we can feel like we're partaking of the, because they're taking our money, we can feel like we're partaking of the feeding of the poor. But they don't really want them. They don't want them to be in their church, because that would be kind of a drag on their resources and stuff. So they're really happy just to leave them out there and leave them poor and, you know, talk about how society's falling down all around them. But
it's setting up. I mean, the enemy has his foot well placed in the government and what they're doing, and absolutely causing chaos. What you're seeing, really, I mean, the big picture of all this, what you're seeing is the grace being pulled off this country. It's rejected the Lord. It's rejected the gospel. And more importantly, not just the country itself.
Believe in a lie.
The churches have.
Rejected the truth and started believing a lie. And that's really the truth. And the truth that truth is that y'all may fancy yourselves to be well-to-do and not in need of God because you got a good job and making good money or got a good bank account or your grandfather chose a bunch of good stocks and they've, you know, 100 years they've split and, you know, divided and been bought out and you're multimillionaire. You're cursed. Just like that poor guy who's panhandling, begging on the street, sleeping under cardboard on the sidewalk. He's just as cursed as he is.
And no different. And not only that, I mean, what does that stuff do for you anyways? I mean, you were just talking this morning. In him all things consist.
Right.
Holding that atom together.
That's right.
That stock, money, that whatever you have, when that's let go, one, when you die, you can't take it with you. The other thing, when that's let go, it's all gone anyways. That's temporary. Lord uses these things to take care of us. Amen, absolutely. At this time and now, he takes care of us. His people. But it's not going to do you any good. Your righteousness is not going to get you into the kingdom of God or heaven. It's His righteousness.
Amen.
And that, you know, whether you hold your stock in your treasures or whether you hold your goodness in the way you do things, that you're good because you did this, because you did that, because that's not going to hold, that's not going to stand.
Really, the whole idea, the whole concept of doing things to be seen, which Jesus addresses as being, you know, worthless, and pride, it's about your pride. So it's destructive to the end of you're not going to get into the kingdom of God that way. But he says, depart from me, I never knew you, workers of iniquity. Well, they would look good, man. They were doing the stuff. But it's easy to get caught up in looking good. That's something that's really putting the gospel and the law back together again, because it's about works righteousness and not about the righteousness of Jesus Christ.
But who did they lead people to? Themselves.
Themselves.
They never led them to the grace of God.
Right.
Never. And it was about them trying to appear more righteous than them, and that stayed that way, and the people bought into it, or some people didn't buy into it, but whatever the case that may
be. And
until the light came, until Jesus came.
The ultimate unfairness about the whole deal is you had all these people that had power and had position and well regarded sitting around there. Jesus is hanging on the cross along with two dirtbags. One of the dirtbags realizes who Jesus is, and he starts telling the other one, shut up. The dirtbag gets told, you'll be with me today in paradise, because he asked him, would you remember me when you come into your kingdom? All those well-to-dos, he's still out there tossing, hurling accusations at him and mocking him. He can't save himself. walk around saving all these people, saying he was God. He can't even save himself. If you're the Son of God, come down off the cross. What's the deal? All that mocking, all that stuff. And he, almost like as if despite him, reveals himself to this guy on the side of him and tells him, all right, because you humbled yourself and you asked me, you can be with me today in paradise. I don't know if anybody else would see that as a spite to the well-to-do who were rejecting and crucifying him. But to me, I mean, that's just... what else do you need to know about the way the gospel works? The gospel is open and powerful to those who can receive it. The thief on the cross could receive it. Those people were fighting it.
And what you had with the Pharisees, and kind of going back there, what you had was is that they stood on a high place, and it was like, to the rest, they could never, and they directed people themselves, and they could, those people could never receive what they got. But what they received what the Pharisees got, it was no good.
Mm-hmm.
And when that light came, it shined a light on that. That's BS. When that light came, it shined a light.
The bad thing is, they knew who Jesus was. And even knowing who Jesus was, they still did what they did.
And what the cool thing was, when Jesus came back down, when Jesus shined a light, was it was a recognition that anybody who believed could receive the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And God was no respecter of persons.
That's right.
And there was hope for those that are lost.
Somebody who was well-to-do and was in the power structure, Joseph, whose tomb he was buried in, he was a Pharisee.
Nicodemus.
And Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He didn't reject them. When they accepted who he was and started following him, they received the gospel. That was all it took.
Well, they seen who he was.
They did not regard their power or position. They regarded his testimony.
And one of the things was, and you were talking about Scotty this morning, is that there was a repentance.
Mm-hmm. They stopped doing what they were doing.
They were stopped doing what they were doing. And they spoke up. You see where Nicodemus speaks up. Does any man have... How can we obtain this man without hearing him first? How can we go do this thing without hearing him first? Does our law judge any man without hearing him first? You have what it was, those that would, that felt lost and hopeless and repented could receive.
Yeah.
And those that would not.
One of the things...
And it wasn't that it wasn't out there for them to receive. It was all out there open for them to receive.
One of the neat things in one of the movies I saw, the Killing Jesus movie, was that it showed Nicodemus and Joseph in the meetings of the Sanhedrin protesting and fighting with the others over, you know, their course of action. And yet, you know, they ultimately lost, but they were in there fight. Not to me a risky thing, because they could have easily gotten, well, we'll put you up there too. I mean, come on. Mm-hmm. So,
well, I mean, doesn't that how it usually goes when you don't agree with the power or the earthly powers thereof?
Yeah. But I can see that happening. I can see that being how those things went down. They were part of the unsavory element that he was turning Jerusalem upside down with. So,
and you know, you were talking about the church being insulting, then. Seeing that, seeing the grace being lifted off, some of the things that we talked about. But the thing is what are we doing? I mean, are we unsalty? I mean, it's something to ask ourselves personally. It's easy to go around and say church is becoming salty, and that's the truth. It's not a lie. But those online, those sitting right here, those who are hearing,
what are we doing about it?
What are we doing about it? Are we repenting before the Lord? Are we grabbing hold of that gospel? Are we letting that light shine and magnifying Him in His grace and His mercy and His love and His freedom that He has so that others may receive? The time's now.
Yeah.
Harvest is ready. We talk about going to other nations preaching the gospel. It needs to be done right here.
Yeah.
To your neighbor. To your... at work.
Needs to be done. There's in the church. The church out there is in bad shape. It's riddled with unbelief.
And pride.
And pride.
I say, it's a... I'm just seeing this going... to work myself and just kind of seeing, stepping back and seeing what, you know, a lot of them are involved in the church and what they're doing, and it's based on pride in themselves. I don't know if they're lifting up Jesus or themselves.
I would say that the evidence, there's plenty of evidence to the contrary. They deny the...
But so what about what they're doing? The question comes to me, what am I doing?
Have a form of godliness.
Yeah. I mean, because I can't control any of that.
Have a form of godliness to deny the power thereof. And the power thereof is when that gospel starts operating in people's lives, things change.
That's right.
Things change.
That's right.
Absolutely.
And it's not based. And once again, it's based on the Lord and His deliverance and the power of the gospel. And that's it.
And you said, and things change. When I was driving recently, I forget which trip I was on, but I'm flipping through the radio stations, and I came across a song. I was like, oh, good song, and I was listening to the song. Song ended, and then, you know, the radio station had its little promo stuff, and I was waiting to see what song would come on next. But what had happened was they had, like, this news snippet for some particular church, and they were talking about how they had a... they had done a survey, and they surveyed, you know, however many people. It wasn't obviously everybody in America, but it was a sampling of folks. And they were, oh, man, this is great. 80-something percent of Americans believe in Jesus.
Yeah, that's down from 95 earlier.
It gets better, you know. There, you know. And of those that responded to our survey, you know, 78% of them say that they have a personal relationship with Jesus, and they walk as He walked, and, oh, praise God, we're doing great! And I'm sitting here thinking to myself, then why does America look like this?
Exactly.
You're full of it! I'm yelling at the radio, you know, and... it's a sad state of
strong
affairs.
Spirit of delusion.
<That's> You're right. And one of the things that you're talking about was that there's change in the power of the gospel. Showing a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And as I see and I hear people's testimonies in throughout some of the church, it is really not met with the power of God. It's they knew somebody that knew somebody else that could help them. That was a doctor. Well, do they still have that problem? Well, yeah.
Was that one of the things?
But I go to his church now, so I'm awesome.
I mean, it's what about
everything
the power?
Awesome.
Look for how about looking for the power of the deliverance there, guys?
Yeah.
Well, that's you know I hear what you're saying, Phil. That sounds awesome, but really we need to you know but. Not really. Stop talking to me about this. It's really uncomfortable. They don't say that, but that conversation ends in 2 minutes, usually.
Right, because they'd have to address their unbelief. They'd have to look at themselves and see where they're off. They'd have to realize that they're a sinner in need of a Savior.
That's one of the things.
And you're going back to, then why does America look like this? And once again, I can't help but self-reflect.
Yeah.
here in this body, then are we a bunch of believers? Why does the body look like this? And here in my home, in my life, around me, am I a believer of Jesus Christ? Then why does it look like this?
But there, I mean, there again, I'm not saying this to lift you up, but the power of the operation of the gospel is that this dirtbag was dead. More than once. Heart stopped. He ain't the same. Like I said, things change. He ain't the same. He ain't the same dirtbag that was spent his entire existence going from one fix to the next fix.
Yeah, and I don't want to deny the work that the Lord has done.
Yeah.
I still
see. But there's yet work to be done.
Absolutely.
And yes. I mean, asking those questions that you're asking, that's still light years ahead. Millions of Americans.
Yeah.
Millions of so-called Christians that don't even ask those questions.
Don't
even seek the truth. Seek to find out where they're wrong.
Seek to find out the truth.
And I don't want to, you know what? I still want to see those areas. Because when I stop seeing those areas, I'm going to be comfortable, just like you're talking about being comfortable in your poverty,
comfortable in your sin, comfortable in your unbelief.
And then I stop moving forward, and I stop reaching out to grab more of the freedom.
You're not pressing toward that mark.
Exactly.
Well, that's the whole problem with Jesus. He wasn't going to let these people stay comfortable in their ignorance of what God requires, and boils down to two real simple things. This is the law and the prophets. Love God with your heart, soul, mind, strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. You can't possibly put all that schooling and all that learning and all of my position and string it down to those two simple things. It's got to be more than that, man. Come on. Come on. That's why I went to school all that time. How I got this position on the Sanhedrin. Come on. Got to be more to it than this, man. Come on.
But the things that are being taught here is what? Humility. Well, that's one that naturally people want to run away from as far as it can come because, you know what? It doesn't feel good.
That was kind of the whole point that was driving me here this morning. I was thinking back, there was a time in this country where there was shame and poverty. There was shame in staying in poverty.
Well, there was shame in drunkenness. There was shame in adultery.
Right.
There was shame in all manner of things.
And that's the evidence that the salt's gone, man. It's gone bad.
It's lost its savor.
Lost his savor. Yeah. It has. That's a shame. That's a testimony of what all of the provisions the church has today at its disposal, and the money like a money press. These guys who had nothing but the clothes on their back walked through the Middle East and caused revolution in the way people related to God, because there was no relationship to God before, and they came through and they had the clothes on their back. What else did they have? They had no place, no home.
I like what Jesus had to say, that had no relationship. Because I just think about that woman in the well. And you know, they say that here you ought to worship. And Jesus says, the time has come. You worship him now, here, wherever.
And she was trying to engage him and run a little interference for herself. It said that, you know, we ought to have to come to Jerusalem to worship.
God is a spirit.
God is a spirit. And he who seek to worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Makes a difference how you worship him? Oh, man. That's going to come as a real shock to a whole lot of people out there.
I know, it's not the ritual that you go up Sunday morning and you got to do the ritual and light the 55 candles, tell you to 500
in
freaking
your, in
Hail
your
Marys.
Robes.
No, you can actually humble yourself, get down to your knees, and talk to them. Be honest with them. And talk to them. Amazing. Personal.
Yeah.
101. Share whatever it is that you have. Mark, it's an interesting thing. It's an interesting thing what Steve had said. It was not a shock to Jesus that you're away, that you're this way. It's a shock to yourself.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
it, this
absolutely.
Way.
And it's probably not even a shock to the folks around
you. Yeah.
And you got
a poll? Survey, instant survey. Does anybody else think I'm a dirtbag?
Yeah. Really? I am? I remember this one fellow, he goes, and he was talking to his disciple, and he goes, well, you're a self-righteous, da 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 da. And he goes, really? And he goes, and everybody else knows that. Really? It was a shock. He didn't think so. He didn't think so. But praise be to God, things are getting worked out. Things are getting worked out. The gospel's being revealed. The gospel's being revealed. And you know what's cool is you can share anything with you. What was it that Steve said? You can share whatever's going on with you. Your work life, your home life, your struggles with your relationships with other people, your sex life, whatever. Whatever it is. Praise God.
Which is statistic. Contrary, 38% of Americans have an STD of some sort at a growing rate of 20 million new cases a year. Huh? What? Yeah, that's the church is 80, yeah. Hmm. Christian, 85%. What?
Well, that's very contrary, Mark, on the behavior pattern that's going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, look. I mean, praise the Lord. And the thing is, we're talking about the sad testimonies and how it's not a testimony. The thing is, that doesn't have to remain with you. It doesn't have to remain around your workplace. That doesn't have to remain in
on the same track that you are.
Your home life, in the body. The body that you're in, wherever that is. You know?
Especially since we're going to be quoting Steve, is one of the things he said today was, Christ died for the ungodly.
Right.
So if you're not ungodly, he didn't die for you.
Yeah.
Hmm. That's a problem. That's perhaps more of a problem than they might have thought at first. Because that's based on a self-evaluation, and you know, not because that's the comparison you're doing. You're not actually going to the Word and saying, "Well, Jill, I don't do that, and I'm not doing that." And, I mean, because you know, who wants to do that? Come on. So you know.
You go through that and you get to the point of like that Meatloaf song. Well, 2 out of 3 ain't bad, right?
You're sitting there going, you know, I hope nobody's actually paying attention here because this list is really not looking good and I'm not even meeting my own standards. That's the truth of the matter. I may be toast. What do you mean you agree with that?
Yeah.
What do you mean I'm ungodly? Yeah.
I mean, and the standard's Jesus.
Yeah.
I mean, somebody that thinks they're not ungodly, let's go to John. Let's just read the first thing. And walk as he walked. And let's go read the gospel. And then go, are you walking like? Well, no. So you're not godly? No. So that means you're ungodly, right?
Yes. I got a guy named Meatloaf be wrong.
What do I do? Here's the gospel.
Yeah.
Here's the gospel. Are we bringing that light? I mean, that's what it's... The gospel
I know for me, not often as I should.
Me as well. Me as well. How much I've been, you know, and that's... Are we about his business? throughout the day. And you know, it's a cool thing. We sang a song, "This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it." Man, I can almost say, "This is the hour that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it." This is the minute, whatever it is, because it is at that time, man. And you think the Lord's going to answer that prayer when you're engaging in somebody, or you're engaging in your work life or your home life or whatever. It's all a ministry of Jesus Christ. When you're engaging in whatever situation you're in, or whether how bad the situation, how great the situation is, when you're engaging, you know what? You have that moment. You think the Lord's going to answer this prayer? Lord, how is it that you would have me serve you in this that you may be glorified in?
That's the place you need to be at.
According to his will. He answers his prayers according to his will.
It takes us back to John chapter 12. Where it's like, I know in the commandment is everlasting life. Really? Jesus knows that. Do you know that? That's why I only say what he gives me to say. And what he gives me to say, that I speak. John 12:50. That's a significant thing. That's what you're talking about here. Lord, what would you have me do now? That's the attitude he walked in. If you would be in him, then that's your attitude. Uh-oh.
It says you are the salt. That's not losing the Savior. That's getting the Savior.
Yeah.
Yeah. Saver. I don't know how to really say it without sounding. Saver?
Saver.
Saver. But that's getting, that means, hey, you know what? Those areas where you see that haven't changed that we've talked about, that, so, man, well then, look at the case of America. Well, look at the case around my life. You know what? It doesn't have to stay that way. Mm-hmm. The Lord's like, ready to move.
Yeah. And part of that, you get two or three people.
You can get out of the way, let them do it, you know?
Start actually dealing with the Lord and the truth of the Word on that level. You start seeing the, Jesus says, I haven't come to bring peace but a sword. Because you're going to have people dropping off from you like flies. She just makes me feel so uncomfortable. Well, gee, it's just one thing after another. It's like, he was all right. Now he's just weird. And, yeah, that's the way it gets. It's that they hated me, they're going to hate you too. Servant's not greater than his master. Just come as a surprise to anybody? He gave full disclosure in here.
It's kind of neat. As you're talking, I'm thinking about the work. And there's either people that hate me.
Uh-huh.
Or there's people really liking me. It's really one or the other.
It really is. Sides form.
And it's really, they either hate me or they really like me. And sometimes those that hated me at first end up liking me. Some that end up liking me at first end up hating me.
And you can't because let any of that move you either way.
I can't. Yeah. I struggle with that. Don't hear me wrong. Do I ever? But
I first came to the Lord in my sort of extended family, you know, my relatives, aunts, uncles, cousins, mother, father, that sort of thing, you could see that a separation was occurring. And in their mannerisms, the way that they related to me, you could see that they didn't want to like me, so to speak, you know, in the way we're talking. But their pride wouldn't let them be angry. They wanted to keep up their appearance.
Right. They want to put up that wall of defense that what's really on my heart, I don't want to share because it's ugly.
Because I'm going to come at it. And they realize that, you know, through some interactions. And then it was just sort of, oh, well, we'll just ignore him. And, hi! You know, just this fluffy facade of nonsense.
Yeah.
And you'll see that.
And you see the uncomfortability and the uncomfortableness of that form. But, no, you stand on the Word. You stand on the Lord.
Right. And as and I've continued to do that as best I can.
I say you, I say it for all of us.
Right. But for me, I mean, my testimony in this is, as I've stood, I've seen some movement in those people, as you describe. Some of them kind of maybe give me a call, ask me some questions. Maybe it's just advice in a little ordinary sort of situation. But and then others, you know, go in the other way with it too. But it's interesting where if you stand and just let the chips fall as they may, that's a position where the Lord can work.
What does it say? He says, and I would, I mean, he is the rock of our salvation. And, you know, you stand on that rock won't be moved. Man, if you're not moved off the Word of God, what will end up happening is people will move. Yeah. To make a choice one way or other. To receive or to reject.
Mm-hmm.
To receive or to reject. But if you're not standing on that rock, and you're not being
back to the salt,
the Savior back to the salt, if you're not...
Well, then you're no different than any of these other so-called Christians we're talking about.
You're not shining the light, putting yourself right in the darkness. And I mean, we all have that opportunity. As therefore there is opportunity. We have
the self-delusion that I and everybody else has suffered through, and some of us get over it and some of us don't, is that, well, God's going to grave me on a curve. The trouble is that curve goes straight through the cross of Jesus Christ, and there's a problem with that, because that's not comfortable. That's not comfortable. But that's the truth. That's the only curve. The road to the Father is through Jesus Christ, right through the cross. Because that cross was meant for you. That cross was meant for me.
Yeah, and there's no way to say through. I say by. He's the vehicle. By.
Yeah.
Amen.
I mean, you're not going to
go. The road goes through that. Not the.
Yeah, I understand.
Salvation is by Jesus Christ. Yeah. Absolutely.
Because the covering, when God looks at you, He sees the blood. He sees the Son. That's acceptable. Mm-hmm. Not you. Mm-hmm. The Son is. But He covered you. Just like the doorpost of the
doorpost and lintels?
The doorpost and lintels is covered by the blood. That angel of death came over just looking for the blood.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't looking to see if the people were worthy or clean or right or anything.
The ultimate determination was, were they obedient?
Yeah.
That was really the thing.
Yeah, they obeyed to do.
Yeah.
That and to put the doorpost and lintels on. I mean, and it showed that they believed that angel of death was coming.
Yeah.
That's coming. And I believe, so I'm going to act on that. What I'm talking about.
The act of obedience showed their faith. Yeah.
Right. And that's what I'm talking about by shining the light, not being moved. The salt having its savor.
Mm-hmm.
Walking as He walked because you believe Him. Mm-hmm. Not as the devils do, but you believe Him.
Mm-hmm.
As Abraham did, as Isaac, as Joseph, as David, as Samson, as Rahab.
They believe He is who He is, who He says He is, and that's it. If they believed Him, they wouldn't be devils.
But there's a point where it's already done for them, and they go, or death. That's why they quake in fear and tremble.
Mm-hmm. Well,
but it's not over for us.
How
those out there?
How could a guy named Meatloaf be bad?
You're still
how could he be wrong? it's too much. It's just stunning and amazing that you say stuff like this around people, and how the jaws drop. You really believe that stuff? You take that stuff serious? I've got that one in John 4 about God's spirit, and he is a secret worshipman, must worship in spirit and truth. You mean it matters? How's it? Huh? Yeah, all these people that do different things, they're doing the different things because it makes them comfortable. They're not doing those different things because it's what the Lord requires. What the Lord requires and what they're doing to make two different things. That means that he's not even receiving any of that.
You know, that to the ones that know that they are lost, it's good news. The gospel's good news.
Yeah.
The ones that think they already
think God, what God, I'm too pleasing to God. Come on. How could God do anything to me?
It's a
really.
It's an offense to
me. Yeah.
But you know, even after the offense, I mean, to their face, and they come to that recognition, that's a good thing. Because they got the gospel, they can now receive. If they come to that true recognition that they need a Savior.
When once again, when I think back to the thief on the cross, the first thing I think of isn't how it's unfair, because he didn't have to go through all that stuff I had to go through. He is up on a cross. I mean, come on. That's. I'm just saying, that's kind of a not good end. But the goodness of the Lord is what I see there. And truly, no respect of persons. Doesn't matter who you know, doesn't matter what you know, as long as you know Jesus and receive Jesus' word. No power, no position. Hell, I'm being executed. Doesn't get much worse than that. To receive him in an act of execution. There'd be more people pulling for the death penalty if more of that happened.
See that the guy that says, we justly deserve this, but he didn't.
Yeah.
And what you find there is that he recognized the righteousness that he had. And that's why he asked him if he would take him. Because he knew that he could. And he had a faith and who he was. That's a neat thing.
It's one thing to say something under the crowd, you know, to the guy next to you. It's another thing to be openly defending him, yelling back to the other guy. Did you feel the wrath of God even at the end? So he was, he had really put his lot in with Jesus.
And he was thinking about Jesus being up on that cross, and when that tide had shifted, what I mean by that tide had shifted, when centurion went mocking the lot for raiment, looked up, seen that sin come down upon him. That earthquake, veil ripped in two, and that tide changed. In fact, truly, this was the Son of God. There's their sin laying up on the innocent man as ours.
And that was who? That was a centurion, right? That was a Gentile. That was a dog.
Yeah, I'm sure it wasn't just a centurion. That crowd that was doing that, they seen that earthquake shake. They seen their own sin just...
Yeah.
This innocent man.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. We weren't there at that place, but we have done it in so many other ways.
Uh-huh. Well, I've only got a couple minutes left. It's stuff worth thinking about. And if you aren't comparing yourself to the only standard that matters, you do that through the Word, submitting yourself to discipleship and seeking out the Lord, come to the light. When you do that, you have a fair chance of moving on in Jesus Christ and into a place where your saltiness shows, where just you being in a room causes the sword to be presented, where people start picking a side. If that's not going on now with you, then you need to find out why. And with that, I'm going to say goodbye, guys.
Have a great day, everyone.
Goodbye, everybody.
May the Lord bless y'all. Texas Ministries up at the top of the hour, and Arizona comes up at 2:00. So until next time, may the Lord bless you.